Morning, everyone.
Morning.
What a beautiful song that is. I haven't heard that in a long time, and so fitting to sing a song like that this morning. Let us turn to the Lord before we turn to His Word. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the Holy Spirit who authored that Word, and who imparts it to each one of our hearts with power. We pray and ask, Lord, that He will do that today as we listen to Your Word, so that we'll bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this morning we'll be focusing on verses 33 and up to 37 of a passage that Steve read for us a little earlier on. And this is what it says. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. In Mark 14 and the beginning of Mark 15, we see the trial of Jesus, if it can really be called that. It was a sham trial, an absolute travesty of justice. It was one of the greatest miscarriages of justice that has ever taken place in human history. Jesus, the righteous one, Jesus, the holy one, was tried. He was condemned for blasphemy and treasons. And yet all the way through the trial, Jesus remained silent. He didn't resist or fight back. He refused to open his mouth. He was like a lamb being led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so Jesus did not open his mouth. The reason for this was because Jesus was being tried for us. Jesus, the innocent, Jesus, the righteous, the sinless one, was charged with crimes of which he was completely innocent, but of which you and I are guilty. He was condemned for us. As a hymn writer so wonderfully put it, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a savior." On the cross, Jesus was freely offering himself as a substitute and a representative for his people, all those who put their trust in him. And now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus was tried for us. Mark tells us in the Bible passage that was read by Steve earlier that immediately following the trial, Jesus was led by the soldiers and led out to the place called Golgotha, the place of a skull, the place of execution. Crucifixion was the cruelest and the most barbaric form of death and execution. It was a long, painful, lingering death, which often could take anything up to 2 days to complete. And yet, you will notice, in Jesus' case, it was all over in just 6 hours. Such was the intensity of his suffering. Mark tells us in verse 25 that Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. And in verse 34, he tells us that at 3 o'clock that afternoon, It was all over. Jesus breathed his last. He yielded up his spirit. Jesus died. But you notice that it was during the last 3 hours of his suffering upon the cross that something inexplicable took place. Mark tells us in verse 33, when it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. So from midday, the brightest and the hottest part of the day, until 3 o'clock that afternoon, there was complete and utter darkness over the whole land. The sun was hidden and there was no light. Now, this was no natural eclipse of the sun, as some have suggested. It wasn't darkness due to satanic influence either, as some have supposed. This was not a natural phenomenon that was occurring that day in Jerusalem. It was something wholly supernatural and divine. It was a sign, a portent from heaven. Was it not nature itself recoiling with protest at the very injustice of the Lord of creation as he hung on the cross? The darkness was not only a sign from heaven, but it was also a sign of divine judgment. You remember in the Old Testament in Exodus 10 that the penultimate plague of judgment on ancient Israel because of its sin and rebellion was a plague of darkness for 3 whole days over the whole land. A darkness so thick that it could be felt. And now here on Golgotha, another period of darkness descends, not for 3 days, but for 3 hours prior to the slaying of God's firstborn, his only begotten son. You might think because of the presence of darkness and the absence of an answer, God was not there. The omnipresent God was there at the cross, but not in a manner that we would expect. You see, God was there not to punish and to destroy those who had rejected, mistreated, and crucified his son. He was there in the darkness to punish his son for us. Jesus underwent an intensity of suffering that you and I could never fully comprehend. Mark tells us that that silence was suddenly broken by an agonizing cry from the Savior. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me? Or why have you forsaken me? These are words of appalling war. The very word forsaken is one of the most tragic in the entire human vocabulary. Think of a man forsaken by his best friends, or even worse, a wife forsaken by her husband, or even a child forsaken by its parents. But who can fathom this morning the distress and the suffering of Christ being forsaken by God? God the Son being forsaken by God the Father. And yet this is precisely what happened at the cross. Let's remember that he who hung upon there in shame and in agony upon the cursed tree had been all eternity the object of the Father's love and delight. And yet now in shame and in agony upon the cross, all he can do is cry in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are surely words of unequaled sadness. The soldiers mocked him, formed a cruel crown of thorns and plunged it in his brow. They punched and kicked him, spat on him, and plucked out his beard. They punched cruel nails in his hands and his feet, and they thrust a spear in his side. And yet through it all, Jesus remained completely silent. But now, as the concentrated wrath of God descends upon him, he can no longer remain silent. He cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are also words of deepest mystery. In the Old Testament, God never forsook his ancient covenant people. They were the very apple of his eye. He was attentive to their needs. Time and time again, he was their refuge in times of trouble and in times of need. When the Israelites were in cruel bondage in Egypt, it was God who came down and delivered them. When they stood before the mighty Red Sea, he came to their aid. And here upon the cross, the most agonizing cry ascends from Jesus to the Father, and yet there is no response. There is silence. The heavens were like brass. The Father's face was turned away. God had abandoned his Son. These are surely words of deepest mystery. The Holy Spirit moved Mark to record the cry of our Savior, from which we can learn three very important things. The cry of our Savior teaches us the awfulness of sin and its dreadful wages. Here we see the awfulness of human sin. The Bible teacher A.W. Pink comments, "The Lord Jesus was crucified at midday, and in the light of Calvary, everything was revealed in its true character. There, the very nature of things was fully and finally exhibited, the depravity of the human heart, its hatred of God, its base ingratitude, its loving of darkness rather than light, its preference of a murderer for a prince of life was fearfully displayed. The awful character of the devil, his hostility against God, his insatiable enmity against Christ, his power to put it into the heart of man to betray the Savior, was completely exposed. So too, the perfections of the divine nature, God's awesome holiness, his inflexible justice, his terrible wrath, and his matchless grace was fully made known. And there it was also that sin, its baseness, its turpitude, its lawlessness was plainly exhibited." But not only do we see the awfulness of sin, we also see the dreadful wages of sin, because in Romans 6:23, Paul reminds us that the wages of sin is death. It is death. Death is a reward, the outcome of human sin. Paul tells us in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people, because all sinned." You see, had there been no sin, there would be no death. Death is a fruit of human sin. But what is death? When we think of death, we think of decay, the dissolution of a body, the separation of a body from the soul. But friends, when the Bible describes death as the wages of sin, it's describing more than just physical death. The Bible declares that the wages of death is spiritual. The wages of sin is spiritual death. And what is spiritual death? It is literally separation from God. It is the separation, the alienation of the soul of man from the very life of God. It is sin that separates us from him who is the fountain of eternal life. And we can see this very clearly at the beginning of history in the human race, in the Garden of Eden, in paradise itself. Prior to Adam falling in sin, he enjoyed intimate communion, perfect fellowship with God himself. But as soon as sin entered the world and entered his heart, he was alienated and cut off from God. That was what God meant when he said to Adam in Genesis 2:17, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." They didn't die immediately physically, but they died spiritually. And we read in Genesis 3 that God drove them away from his presence. God drove out the man and barred the way to the tree of life with cherubim and the flaming sword. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, and eternal separation from the Lord. My friends, it was there on the cross that Jesus was receiving the wages of the sins of his people. For he had no sins of his own. He was the Son of God, holy, harmless, and separate from sinners. When he was dying on the cross for our sins, he was dying in our place and in our stead, so that we might go free. He was receiving the punishment, our judgment. He was dying our death. And that is why he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Savior's cry teaches us the awfulness of sin and the dreadfulness of its wages. Secondly, the Savior's cry upon the cross teaches us the perfect holiness and absolute justice of God. We see in the cross and in this cry of the Savior, God's perfect holiness and his inflexible justice. Now, when we speak of God's holiness, the Bible is referring to God's moral perfection, that he is without any trace of sin or darkness, defilement, or imperfection. Holiness is the infinite moral perfection of God. The Bible tells us that God is light and in him there is no darkness. It declares that our God is a consuming fire, and he cannot allow that which is evil to enter his presence. He is so holy that no one can see him and live. Even the angels around his throne veil their faces and cover their feet and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Likewise, the prophet Habakkuk says, "God's eyes are too pure to look at evil. He cannot look upon iniquity." And so, because the Savior on the cross was bearing our sins, our defilement, the Holy One could not look upon his Son. He turned his face away and could not look upon him. The holiness and the justice of God demanded that Jesus be forsaken. There was no other way, because Jesus Christ was dying in our place as our substitute, dying in our place for our sins, so that we might go free. My God, why have you forsaken me? When the Savior uttered that cry and uttered that question, there was no one who could possibly answer it. The disciples didn't know, and neither did the people surrounding him know. But Jesus knew the answer. He knew deep down the reason why he was forsaken. Let's remember that the cry of our Lord was a direct fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It was a prophetic cry. Way back in Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, it begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. But you are holy. You see, that is the answer to the Savior's question. That was the reason why he was forsaken at Calvary. It was because of the manifestation of the holiness of God. God is the one who is glorious in holiness. We have seen that in the cry of the Savior is revealed the awfulness of sin and its terrible wages. We have also seen that the cry of the Savior displays God's perfect holiness and absolute justice. But thank God, in the third and final place, we learn from the cry of our Savior God's plan for saving sinners. We have seen this morning that God is holy and he cannot look upon sin. God is just and righteous, and so he must punish the sinner. But the glorious news today on this Good Friday morning is that God is love. Friend, this is a wonderful thing. Had it not been the case, the whole world would have been blotted out forever. The God who is perfectly holy and perfectly just is also the God of love. He is love in his very essence and being. The Bible says in the verse that every Christian should know very well, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, how great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. It wasn't just a manifestation of divine justice. It was a manifestation of divine love. The Father, who is rich in mercy towards us, was not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. And in his infinite wisdom and love, he devised a way whereby the justice of God might be fully satisfied, and yet his mercy let free to flow out for the vilest of sinners. And that plan was none other than the way of substitution, the just for the unjust. But who could possibly be a substitute for the guilty sinner? Who could possibly do it? The Old Testament prophet Nahum said in chapter 1, verse 6, "Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger?" Thank God, the answer and the fulfillment to that question is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone could do it. He alone could stand as our substitute. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus left his Father's side and gave up his glory that he might identify with us. And there on the cross, he willingly poured out his life for us, the just for the unjust, to bring us back to God. The Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect lamb that all the lambs sacrificed in the Old Testament pointed to. He, with one sacrifice, atoned for all our sins and fully satisfied the justice of a holy God. And there on Calvary, because of his great love and mercy, the Father turned his face away to make a wretch like me and like you his treasure. Friend, will you not repent of your sin and turn to the Savior whose arms are outstretched towards you today? Isaiah 53:6 says, But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And you may not have tomorrow. The same Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Turn to the Lord today and live. And if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is another day to rejoice in God your Savior and to recommit your life to him. And we have a perfect opportunity to do that in a few minutes. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you forsook your only Son so that you might bring us back to you. We thank you for the great reminder that we have, Lord, of the great price that was paid for our sin. Your precious Son dying in our place and in our stead on the cross. Help us, O Lord, never to forget the price that was paid at the cross. And help us as we read your word to be transformed, to become more and more like him, so that we may bring glory and honor to him. In his name we pray. Amen.